Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
John Decker is charged with kind of getting to the bottom of these political things. He's the White House correspondent for Gray Television. And John, I'm assuming that the Cuomo story is being talked about at the White House because, you know, a governor as powerful as the governor of New York and someone with a name like Cuomo, with a big D behind their name, that's got to worry the Biden people, I would think.
Well, absolutely. In fact, good morning to you,
good morning,
John. Jen Psaki, who's the White House press secretary, was asked a question yesterday about the governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, and she did not in any way throw him a lifeline. She essentially said, look, this investigation is ongoing by the Attorney General of the state of New York. We'll let them do their investigation. But she was not, you know, helping him out in any particular way. I heard what you were saying to that listener just a moment ago. I think that's right. You know, he over the years has managed to succeed in large part thanks to his last name, more so because of any great political skills that he has had over the years. And he's also managed to develop a lot of enemies over the years. And that's the reason why you don't see many Democrats coming to his defense right now.
Yeah, it's interesting to see who will come up and defend you when you're in trouble and who will let you drown. That's when you find out who your friends are and who your enemies are.
I agree.
What about the former president's speech at CPAC? I mean, the crowd that I was with at CPAC, They were so excited about seeing Donald Trump again. I mean, it was like a balm for them. But the Joe Biden folks reacting to Trump's speech or being dismissive of it?
No, you know, they didn't want to give any life, any oxygen to the former president. They didn't want to in any way, weigh in on the speech in any way whatsoever. And is it a surprise? No, it's not. I think that to a certain extent, even though it's only been a matter of months since President Trump has held office, he, to a certain extent, even without social media, at times has eclipsed, in certain ways, the attention that typically is focused on the current president of the United States. And that is one reason why, you know, Jen Psaki, when asked numerous times yesterday, John, during the press briefing about the speech down at CPAC, she just wasn't weighing in whatsoever.
Probably smart strategy for them. I'm not sure what they get out of it other than adding fuel to the fire and taunting Donald Trump to come after them even more, which it probably helps with the liberal base, but they've got them locked up already, just strategically.
Well, they do. You know, it's always good, you know, as it relates to fundraising,
right,
you know, for both parties. Both parties benefit from that. I know that you were down there. I certainly watched the entirety of the president's remarks. And, you know, he covered all the bases in terms of going after his successor. Very unusual for a former president just months removed from serving in the West Wing and the Oval Office to go after his successor. But, you know, President Trump does things that don't follow the norm usually. Yeah. And also teasing the possibility of running in 2024. But most importantly, for the near term, indicating that he's going to be very much involved in the process of trying to help Republicans win back the House and win back the Senate in 2022, the midterm elections.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to ask you a question, which you're probably not going to like, and you may say, hey, John, I just don't want to get into this, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
Okay.
And you want to be diplomatic. I mean, you're in the White House every day, and you've got to deal with these people. But I keep seeing I keep seeing stories, clips of President Biden. I want to be respectful. He is the president. And I want to show him the deference that I don't think people showed President Trump. But showing Joe Biden having a difficult time staying on message with the teleprompter or with his notes, it appears that he's confused. Look, anybody who does a four-hour radio show every day or anybody who gives speeches on a regular basis, right. It's easy to find something that they screw up. Is it worse than the average person, do you think? Now, I'm putting you on the spot, so maybe you say, I don't want to answer that, but what do you think?
Well, or do you? I want to answer it in a few ways, if I could, John.
Okay.
First of all, it's difficult to compare Joe Biden to President Trump because President Trump really didn't use the teleprompter all that often.
Right.
Yes, there were times, and you know, it was often described as this is, you know, teleprompter Trump, when he's on message and he's just reading from the prompter, doesn't really veer away from that message. But most people, I don't think, realize that for all 8 years of the Obama presidency, he too relied on the teleprompter quite a bit.
Right.
And the reason being is because Barack Obama, you know, as disciplined a person as he was, when he went off script, it often meant that, you know, those who speak on his behalf had to clean up his remarks. You can remember, for instance, John, let me give you an example, and I'm going to get back to Joe Biden in a second, but you can remember the so-called beer summit that happened. That was because Barack Obama went off script, and they have to have, you know, and the reason that you had this so-called beer summit involving Professor Gates at Harvard was because President Biden at the time did not stick to the remarks that were in front of him. And as a result, you know, you had to have this other event at the White House. Now, getting back to Joe Biden, he does remain primarily on script. He reads off the teleprompter. I think that the White House feels comfortable with that. But that is the way that he has functioned from the time that he announced that he's running for president in 2020 up to the present. And I don't think that's going to change. I don't know what that's a reflection of, whether, you know, the White House, his team that works with him is uncomfortable with him going
off. But even on the prompter, he just seems confused a lot. And I'm trying to be honest about it. I'm not just trying to take pot shots. I could, but he does seem a little confused.
Well, here's what I would say is going back a number of years when Joe Biden was a member of the U.S. Senate, he didn't rely on the prompter. And he, as you know, had the reputation of just talking for too long.
Yeah.
I think that he thinks sometimes he's still that guy that, you know, could just speak extemporaneously, like he was the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and he's not that guy anymore.
Yeah,
he's president. They want him to speak on message. They want him to speak off the prompter. He thinks that he can, you know, doesn't need the prompter all the time. And I think that that is a little bit what's at play here. And I'm not going to get into, you know, as he slowed down. I mean, let's be honest. We all slow down. We're all going to slow down. You know, when I get to, you know, 77 years old, I'm not going to be the same person I was, you know, at 47 or 37. So
we'll keep an eye on it and see.
Okay.
And see. I appreciate you talking to me. John Decker,
absolutely,
the White House
John.
Correspondent for Gray TV. We'll talk again soon.